like right now, because I'm preaching principles in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 11 through 13. And what I'm getting to this morning is success in serving the Lord. And this is the model of the apostles. When you think about that, this is the ways that God gave us. And the principle that I'm focusing in on this morning is the necessity for you, for me, to have our hearts opened to other Christians. Now, when I say other Christians, I mean all Christians, people that are saved. And your heart needs to be open for action. Now, last week at the men's Bible study of the Forged meeting, we talked about what this means, how far to take it. Well, our pattern starts at 6, 11 through 13 with Paul saying that the apostles were working together with God. Now, that's what we do also. And in everything, they were commending themselves as servants of God, and that's what we also want to do. And as such, he said at verse 11, which is our passage, our mouth has been open to you, O Corinthians, our hearts open wide. You're not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Prepare your heart for this sermon. Open your heart to other Christians for action. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would guide me to preach accurately and that I would preach to build us up and that we would live what we learn. I ask that you bless this church and bless each one of us individually in this fellowship, all for your glory. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Now, this social connection God has called you to in relationship with other Christians requires letting go of walls. And what I mean is God wants openness to be your way of interaction. And you must do it by the Spirit in conjunction with the Word of God to do it properly. And you must do it by the love of Christ. Any Christian who operates by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the love of Christ, now just think about this, is going to be doing things which show it. And this thing, being open the way that God wants, this is part of it. So you must apply this scriptural guideline. And it doesn't matter what other Christians are doing. God has called you, he's called me, you must do it. And ask yourself, is your heart closed to a Christian right now? Well, then you must make yourself be open. You must throw off the restraint. And it's going to require work. You're going to have to work to open yourself to the members of the body of Christ. You're going to have to break out of comfort zones. You know what I mean? Attitudes. And even your location, just to communicate and to listen and to show care. And it's intentional care that you make yourself do. Opening up your self-protective and generally selfish heart and putting what God wants into action. Open to attentiveness. You know, open to what you say, being involved, being real. You know, the apostles were in tune with God, and their mouths, as Paul says, were open to the Corinthians. Their hearts were open wide to them. But the immature Corinthians were restraining the ways of the Lord. They were a social mess, gossip, spite, bad attitudes, and pride. And they were self-centered. The apostles are giving us the contrast. They sought to walk in God's way. They talked God's way. They were teaching God's way. They sought to be selfless and operate in love. And they knew that openness means commitment, real commitment. Now, understand it to be commitment in which people get undeserved grace from you. We all have undeservedness when it comes to grace. And you know a lot of people who do not deserve grace. Grace, because that's the way we all are. And with that commitment, which is your lesson, caring, concern-filled ways were released by the apostles. And the mind is this: I'm always serving the Lord, no matter what I'm doing, I'm always serving the Lord, and I must do it the way he wants. So Paul, who was 100 miles away from the Corinthians when he wrote this, he assured them of the way that God wants his people to operate, that in spite of the repulsiveness of the Corinthians, and they were repulsive, and in spite of being worn down by them, the hearts of the apostles were still open wide to something they were not going to change. Submit to God's will and work in you, and this becomes your consistent way. No matter how much hurt you receive from that Christian, And no matter how much immaturity other Christians have, God wants you to continue by the true leading of the Holy Spirit. All Christians function best by keeping their hearts wide open and staying that way. Now, if you haven't recognized this yet, this is Christian love in action, Christian love. And in the midst of a lot of talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, this is true leading of the Holy Spirit. But it's not easy. It rarely is. Now, don't think it was easy for the apostles. It does have requirements. You must diminish yourself. You must seek the good for that person, even if it means experiencing what you think is bad from them. And this is what it takes to work together with God, commending yourself as a servant of God. Now, there might be things like you might be a loner. You know, you might have been offended by someone. You might think you're too busy for other people. Well, none of those things are reasons to be restrained in your heart. This is a heart attitude. And for this openness, you must become approachable. And how you view yourself is very, very important. If you look at yourself more highly than God wants you to, it's not going to happen. So when you consider the apostles, they actually knew they were unique. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, they recognized they were God's specially called and gifted ambassadors of the establishment of Christianity. They knew their importance was no small thing. All Christians are supposed to know this about the apostles. They operated in much the same way that the prophets and the scribes of the Old Testament operated. And so they had God's special calling. They had his anointing and they had his seal. And yet, and this is the point, they did not use this knowledge to create walls with immature Christians. See what I'm saying? They didn't build walls by acting like who they were gave them a reason to think they were superior to others. But also, being men commissioned by the risen Jesus, there was a danger existing in the minds of others. You know, some might see the apostles as elite Christians. So they could look at the apostles and their unique ministry call, and they could think, well, you know, it's better than mine. They're better than me. And it's easy to point to someone and put them in a wrong category, either on a pedestal that you think makes them unapproachable or behind some kind of a wall that you've built to disassociate with them. Either way, creating false categories of unapproachableness is wrong, but it gets used for another way to seek to justify closing your heart to others. You should never get to a point in your Christianity that you think you are a uniquely special Christian. You should never think that there's a Christian that you cannot talk to because they're supposedly so special that you can't approach them. These are two things that are very important to think about concerning this letting down the wall. But this trend to do these things exists, and unfortunately it exists in churches. And it even exists with some pastors. And what's crazier is that this happens even though pastors are supposed to be about the business of pastoring, which means the spiritual concerns of people are supposed to be the concern. So pastors must be approachable. He must be real, loving, caring, and ready with the word of God in such a way that people are comfortable and they're willing to come to him. A pastor must be a people person. And openness is part of his calling. You know, no minister should think that he's unapproachable, that he's in some kind of higher special category of separation. Now, of course, the pastoral calling should be honored and respected biblically, but it must be biblically. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:13 that there are certain pastors who are worthy of double honor. It's those who work hard at preaching and teaching. But as people, saved people, pastors are just like you. And all of us must be real, okay, authentic. We need to be open-hearted. And you need to know that you can be real, authentic, and open-hearted with them as everyone seeks to manifest the life of Christ. Now, a good reminder for all of us is another scriptural piece of wisdom from Romans 12. Everyone among you must not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Okay? It's the calling of every member of the body of Christ. There's not supposed to be an us and them. Seek to diminish your own self and do it in light of Christ Jesus. Just keep him at the forefront of everything, right? And this does. It requires continuous effort. Conscious, intentional, self-diminishment, as pure sensitivity to the Holy Spirit for you to stay at God's ordained ground level with that person who is an imperfect earth dweller just like yourself. And there's more to a heart that's open wide. There's more action. You're going to have to let down your guard. Don't act like you're in a constant state of concern about protecting yourself. You may fear that you're going to get hurt emotionally. You may fear that you're going to get hurt by that particular person. Now, it's understandable. You may jealously guard your time and your agendas. And that's also understandable, because those things are very important. So letting your guard down in those areas does require godly wisdom, because they're important. God wants you to wisely protect yourself, even protect your time. But God does not want you to use it to excuse yourself out of an open heart for others for action. Now, the apostolic example for serving the Lord shows personal risk. And personal risk walks hand in hand with personal sacrifice. So you think about it. Opening yourself wide to others is one of the riskiest pursuits you can do. But remember, you're working together with God. It's a faith issue. And working together with God is always the key. So you think about God. He cares about you. And in your risk, he accomplishes great things for his kingdom. And so you're going to rely on him in faith. But also, in his care, he reminds you of that other dimension. God gives value to every single Christian you encounter. So be open to that Christian with unguarded risk and true care and concern because of their God-given value. Not the value you give them, but what God gives them. He gives to you too. Christian love involves looking at the person as the one meant for that love. And so you've got to see their worth. They have the value for your care, which goes the extra mile. And their value, think about this, their value is what demands it. And a good test for yourself on this is to ask yourself if you're looking at people with the eyes of God's concern. All you're doing is being honest with yourself. Right now, is my heart open to that person? Am I really seeing that person with the same value that God has for them? And so when your fleshly eyes don't see them with the value that God has for them, you are responsible to recognize your wrong assessment, and you are called to make the adjustment and proceed with embracing the value that God has placed on them. You're checking yourself with what? With what God thinks. And then you're changing your thinking to align with God's thinking. And then be assured that this is more than realization. It is effort, because a heart requires a lot of attention to be open. Effort requires things like forgiveness. Forgiveness beyond what your flesh wants to do. It requires long suffering. Think about that word, long suffering. Isn't that interesting? You are called to press through when everything you want wants to harbor resentment and anger and contempt. You want to stay mad. You want to get back at that person for what they did. You want to give them the cold shoulder. Forgiveness is the first step that changes your course from doing any of those things. And actually, forgiveness is one of the sweetest, let's call it a superfood fruit of the Holy Spirit. It not only nourishes others as you do it, it also nourishes you. And unforgiveness is poison, makes you sick, keeps you sick. And to remain open also requires patience. And as soon as impatience raises its ugly head, the door of your heart just begins to close because you're impatient. And impatience will detach you from the value of others. And then your heart becomes locked. And expect your patience to get tested. When the testing comes in your spirit, you'll want to be patient, but your flesh will want to resist. Your flesh becomes frustrated. It becomes wearied. You're just tired of it. You don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. And you get so frustrated, you want to turn your back on someone just to get away from it all. And you know that when that happens, the root is your love being tested. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient. And patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 5:2. And as you go, you're going to need baskets of this fruit when it comes to something else that God wants. And it's trying to get others to open their hearts of love as well. Now it's a ministry thing. This is the edification. This is the body working together. You want to see them do this too. It's trying to get others to open their hearts of love. Paul recognized this necessity saying this, "You are not restrained by us, but you are restraining your own affections. Now in a like exchange, I speak as to children, little kids, open wide to us also." Now, urging Christians to manifest opening their hearts wide to yourself is wanting them to know they are not restrained by you, but they're restrained in their own affections. And in your patience and in your love, there's a certain way to go about it. Don't speak so much about the offense as much as God's principles for the open heart that God wants. Go about it by getting to the spiritual manifestation. Now, think about the approach that Paul took. It's pure wisdom on this. When it comes to the closed heart being restrained, we might see it in yourself, but you can see it in others, you know. Paul considered the spiritual maturity that was being manifested. And so this dictates what you're dealing with. So Paul said, I speak to it as to children. Children. And that approach has a whole lot of wisdom in it. Recognize that when your heart is closed, you're just being immature. And recognize that the same immaturity is exactly what you're dealing with in others who are following the Lord. But they're not so much following the Lord in this area. So be ready to deal with those people like they're acting like children, which on the first level is go at it like you're seeking to nurture them, like you're trying to help them. But there's more to it. When Paul said this, he was hearkening back to how he dealt with these same people back in 1 Corinthians. Same people, same problems. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul said, "Brothers, I cannot speak to you as to spiritual men." And so what Paul meant is that they were not manifesting maturity in their spiritual thoughts and their actions. So he's approaching them a certain way. "I can't speak to you as to spiritual men." And so next, he said he had to speak to them as what? As to men of flesh, 1 Corinthians 3. Well, what does that mean, men of flesh? It means they're matching unsaved people who lack understanding. That's how they're acting. They're being immature spiritually. And so think about this. There will come times as you serve the Lord, you will be left completely dumbfounded by a certain Christian. That's probably happened to you many times already. And this is the effect that we get from proclaimed Christians who are so much like the world, they look like they're not even spiritually saved. And in fact, others may say to you that they doubt that the person's really saved. You might be thinking it too. You know, the Corinthian Christians were exactly that kind of Christian. But here's a very important lesson that we're weaving into all this, because remember, it's the apostolic model. Paul never said they were not spiritually saved. He said they were not acting spiritual. He said they were saved, but fleshly. Children, babies. Instead of assuming they were spiritually unsaved, Paul assumed that they were true brothers and sisters in Christ. And so instead of saying that, this thing about the Corinthians, I wonder if you people are truly regenerated or you need to receive and believe the gospel of Christ Jesus to be saved, which they've already done. Paul, who understands what the comprehensive grace of spiritual salvation really is and recognizes spiritual principles of growth and maturity and the time process of repentance, said next that he speaks to them as to infants in Christ. What he said. So this is the point. You're dealing with brothers and sisters, but something about their immature ways makes them less mature than adolescent playground kids. They're not even that mature yet. They're acting like babies. So Paul knows that this is how they need to be taught, approached, like they're babies. So Paul explained, "I gave you milk to drink." Milk is the staple food of babies, isn't it, right? It's the fundamental nourishment that babies need to survive. So you think about it, milk is the basics. But then Paul went on and he said, "I did not give you solid food because you're not yet able to receive it. You're just a baby. You're acting like one. You're being one. You're fleshly," is what he said. "Indeed, even now you're not yet able because you are still fleshly." Exact quote. And so fleshly is Paul's term for acting so immaturely that the Christian looks more like the world than like the Lord. Paul goes on and he says, "For since there is jealousy, strife among you, are you not fleshly?" Infants, babies in Christ. "And are you not walking like," this is an amazing statement, mere men. In other words, like unregenerated, mere unsaved people. And so there you have the approach. That's the approach. And so here, Paul sticks with the same approach in our passage, saying, now in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. So that's what you do. Treat and teach Christians who restrain their godly hearts of love, love for their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, like they're being babies. And in that treatment, what does Paul exhort the childish, love-stifling Corinthians to do? He says this straight out. Open wide to us also. Now, you notice that word? He said also. They're very important. They need to open wide to the apostles in the same mature Christian adult way of love. The apostles open up their hearts to the Corinthians. This is our lesson. Paul is using himself and the other apostles as the template for how to act in real love. Not just mouthed off love or, you know, whatever. And Paul had to do this often. He said in 1 Corinthians 4, 6 through 17, I have figuratively applied these things to myself and Apollos for your sakes. Apollos was another apostle. So that no one of you will become arrogant. When we apostles are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to reconcile, Paul said. Do you see the way the mature person is? I write these things to admonish you as my beloved children. Because if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. So Paul is God's pattern. Follow his example. Teach his example. Try to bless when you're reviled. Even endure through the persecution. Try to reconcile when you're slandered. And tell other Christians to do it too. And he says next at 1 Corinthians 4:16, therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you to remind you of my ways which are in Christ. And then in 10:33 and 11:1, he put his way of action in a very simple statement saying, I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. What an amazing statement. Through obeying the scripture to imitate this, which is imitating Paul, you have the template to approach people and urge them to open their hearts. You also have a template for approaching people to urge them to close their hearts. So close their hearts to what? Well, you exhort your brothers and sisters to close their hearts to ungodliness. And this includes ungodly relationships with the lost world culture, which will destroy you. And this also includes urging them to separate from seeking to be bound together with unbelievers. Paul said this. He said, don't be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? And it's a rhetorical question because he knows that you know the answer, and it's none. And Paul is continuing to speak from this love that comes from an open heart and an open mouth. It's a continuation of ministering to Christians who are being immature. When you see someone habitually partnering with the unbelievers as fellowship choices, they're making the world become, let's just call it this, their church. You know it's an act of immaturity. And the problem is that they are acting like they share in commonality with the world in the spiritual realm, manifested in what they are doing in the physical realm. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Acting as if you share in commonality, that's what koinonia, fellowship, means. Share in commonality with the world in the spiritual realm is manifested in what you're doing with the world in the physical realm. It's a very important word, fellowship. So think about it meaning this, sharing in commonality. You're communing, communion. It's all the same word. Fellowship with the world is to show love for the world, which is God has reserved for the body of Christ. And the immature need the exhortation from an open heart and an open mouth to quit doing this. Now further, you can do it in love, but further, this demonstrates the need for you to separate from being bound to the unsaved in your own life. in your own life. So this is a thing about us, and it's a thing about others, because this is a thing about all of us. Now, the Greek word that Paul used for this is one used for this don't be bound together, is for a yoke. Now, it's like an oxen being yoked together to work together to accomplish a goal. And so this is what farmers would do, put the two oxen together to work. Now, when there's an unequal yoke, the stronger one has to work harder to continuously make up for the weaker one. And the weaker one will drag the other one off course, always. And this, by the way, is what the unsaved always do to you. You don't pull them over to Christ. That's just not the way the gospel works. It's presented. It's not pulling. Not you don't pull. You see, no, they drag you off course to exist in the compromise that you are already in with them. See how it works? In an unequal yoke, the workload is pulled to the side as a crooked line, and it just keeps taking you off course, more and more off course. They're still there. They're still yoked to you. You're still trying. You're still going off course because they're weak. That's how it works. But more, you become associated with the unequal yoke because you're joined together with the one that you are tied to so closely. And what it does, it causes spiritual confusion. And personally, it causes a defeated life. It causes both of those. And when you see this happening, don't be lenient concerning fellowship with the world. You know, your leniency with others doing this can look like you're approving of it. But the apostolic model is to not only be separated from fellowship with the world, but also be about the important task of urging other Christians. Remember, they're immature, they're babies. Treat them like a child, but you treat them like a child in love, to be separated from the world. This is your calling. And you can be assured that you are doing the right thing by calling other Christians to this same standard because you're doing it from God's word. And it's true Christian love to do so, by the way. So go to that person in humility. It's always that way. Paul was always humble. Go to that person in humility, diminishing your own self in an unguarded sense of duty, in authentic care, because they are unequally yoked and you care. You're not trying to condemn, you're caring. And this is the true fruit that God wants you to produce from your own mouth as you open wide your heart in authentic ministry. So here again, here's what to do. Open your heart to other Christians for action. All right? We can all do that. Diminish ourselves. Seek the good of others, even if it means experiencing bad. Be approachable. Remember, let down the walls. Be an approacher. So you let down your guard. You got to take risks. See the immense worth and the value of other people, because that's what is important. Be forgiving. Be patient. They're children. Seek to help. Try to get them to open their hearts of love. Approach them like you're talking to a spiritual baby. You're going to have to speak very elementary talk, very clear words, and just to get the point across. And try to bless when you are reviled. Endure through the persecution. But you're trying to reconcile even when you're slandered. This is what Paul's telling us. This is what the Spirit's telling us. Tell other Christians. This is what you tell them. They need to do it too. Amen?